From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last April, we spoke with two members of a four-women team who were embarking on a conservation campaign that would take them on a 1,000-mile journey, starting at the source of the Salmon River and ending at the Pacific Ocean. Their goal during this voyage was to advocate for the removal of four Lower Snake River dams and the suspension of the Stibnite Gold Project just northeast of Cascade in order to help save Idaho salmon from extinction. Libby Toby and Brooke Hess have now completed their expedition, and they're joining us today to talk more about the travels and what they saw. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
Okay, it has been a few months since we spoke to you last. Can you remind our listeners of why Idaho salmon are endangered?
So the best way to describe it that scientists have researched is that the four Lower Snake River dams are killing off the salmon populations of Idaho. 60% of the mortality of these salmon populations is due to the four Lower Snake River dams. They create really long, slow-moving, hot reservoirs that are not ideal locations for salmon to live in.
And your team traveled more than 1,000 miles, as I mentioned. So I'm curious from both of you, and Brooke, I'll start with you. What was the most difficult leg of the journey for you?
I would say it was by far the time we spent in the Lower Snake River. We had just spent almost a month traveling through the headwaters of the Salmon River, which is this beautiful, thriving ecosystem. There's eagles and great blue herons everywhere. And then as soon as we hit the Lower Snake, which has the four dams on it, it was dry, hot reservoirs. The water smelled bad. There was no one there. We saw maybe five birds the whole time. And it was just a very depressing place. So I think that was the hardest spot of the journey for me.
And Libby, what about you?
I would certainly echo what Brooke said. I mean, the Lower Snake, especially concerning the portage we had to do, we ended up, walking our boats and a lot of our gear around the Lower Four Snake River dams. It really presented a wild contrast and a big challenge for us. And then I guess I would also throw out there, I think for me, I didn't really anticipate what a challenge the Lower Columbia was going to be. Brooke mentioned sort of the really stark transition we saw between the headwaters ecosystems and the Lower Snake. And we really got to see that again in the Lower Columbia. The river at that point has grown in volume to where it's, where we just paddled a couple of days ago, here near the mouth of the Columbia. The river is almost 10 miles wide at its widest point. And there's a huge amount of marine traffic coming through. 800-foot carrier ships are coming through. And there's just kind of a whole set of variables, including some pretty savage headwind that we had to deal with. Just created a kind of a whole different set of challenges that I was sort of taken aback by.
And, as you traveled down the Snake River into the Columbia, I mean, you likely, I would assume, face some of the same challenges that the salmon face themselves. So I'm curious about what you learned and what you experienced when you were doing this. So Brooke, I'll start with you. What do you think was your biggest takeaway?
So it was really interesting because we actually timed our journey with the outward migration of the smolts that are heading to the ocean during this time. And we met a class of fifth graders in McCall, Idaho, and they were raising smolts from eggs to smolt stage, which is the juvenile stage of these salmon. And they released them so these smolts could go on their journey to the Pacific from their spawning grounds. And they tagged them. And one of their smolts went through the John Day Dam the same week we went through the John Day Dam. So that was a big learning experience for like following the salmon on their journey the same time they go through it. And the journey was the biggest challenge I've ever taken on in my life. And just thinking that these fish that are 3-4 inches long we're doing the same journey it was mind blowing to me.
Yeah. And Libby, what about you?
Yeah. I think as far as kind of big takeaways, you know, I know for all of us there, we'll kind of, a lot of those will crystallize in the kind of coming days mm-hmm. and months. But yeah, I think for me, it really was the immediacy of, you know, the need to take those dams out. I mean, we, you know, like Brooke said, we were tracing this, the migration path of the juvenile salmon out to the ocean. And, you know, it's one thing to hear about it, right? You know, we've all read so much about this issue and, you know, from academic articles to press, you know, to photography, you know, we know a lot about this issue as a team, but to hear about it and read about it and then to see it with your own eyes are two incredibly different things. And like Brooke was talking about, you know, seeing those reservoirs in the Lower Snake, feeling how hot the water was, and, you know, having some really like strong emotional responses to just seeing, you know, these massive walls across the river and knowing what they're doing to the salmon populations, particularly in light of what climate change is doing to our region and will continue to do. So I think it was just a really big wake up call for all of us in that, you know, where we felt somewhat, you know, not immediately tied to this issue. You know, as individuals, I think seeing it with our own eyes just made it very clear that those dams have to come out, and they have to come out very, very soon.
And Libby, when you were not paddling and kayaking, you were actually writing letters. Your group was writing letters to elected officials to advocate for this exact cause. Did you receive any feedback from any government officials, from local governments anywhere?
You know, we did. We invited a bunch to our final event in Astoria 2 evenings ago. And we were hoping we would get some traction and get some attendance from those elected representatives. And, you know, well, we have not gotten direct feedback from any, you know, aside from kind of the auto-generated letters that you get in response right. from your editors. You know, we feel really grateful. So, you know, a few days ago now, you know, we woke up to a press release from the White House Council on Environmental Quality that the Biden administration is now officially recommending breaching of the Lower Snake River dams, specifically to protect the populations, the salmon populations in the Snake River Basin. And so although we haven't seen direct, you know, feedback addressed to us, I think seeing something of that nature and knowing that, you know, the draft report that Murray and Inslee up in Washington put out several weeks ago now received 33,000 comments, the vast majority of them favoring breaching of the Lower Snake River dams. Seeing those sort of tidbits and those really kind of groundbreaking developments along our trip has been really, really validating. Mm-hmm. And it's been a pretty neat form of feedback for us to get.
And Brooke, you mentioned that you know, you kind of worked with that fifth grade class in McCall, but over the course of this entire journey, you worked with schools and nonprofits and other conservation groups to really try to spread awareness about the need for dam removal. What was that like to, you know, on these stops to be able to educate a little bit and advocate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we made a really big point of doing events in communities along the way, particularly communities that have actually been impacted by these salmon declines. And it was really interesting to get to speak with locals who live in Salmon, Idaho, who remember when there were thriving salmon returns up the river every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, the town is named after these salmon, and who now live there and know that last year there were 4 wild adult sockeye salmon that returned to the Stanley Basin. And to see those declines and to get to talk to these people was really, really impactful. And then to visit high schools and visit elementary schools and talk to these kids and to the youth salmon protectors who are the future of this fight and who are so, so interested in it and so passionate about it. It was both depressing, but also hopeful at the same time that there are people who are in this fight and who are really working on it.
I know your team was planning on making a film about your expedition. When can we expect to see footage?
That's a good question. Making a film has so many moving pieces.
Yeah.
And we do have all of the footage. We are working with producers trying to put that together. So I think it'll be about a year out from now, but there will be a film coming out on this journey and on the declining salmon populations of the Snake River Basin.
And before I let both of you go, final question for each of you. I'm curious if you learned anything that you did not expect to learn over the course of this trip. And Brooke, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think I'm still processing it because we only finished, yeah, what, 2 days ago. But the biggest thing for me was coming down into the lower Columbia and how influenced the river is from like 100 miles away from the coast by the maritime environment. We were camped maybe 80 miles up from the mouth of the Columbia, upstream of it, and the tides were raising and dropping the river level maybe 15 feet every day. And yeah, that was a huge surprise to me at how far in the maritime influence to the Columbia goes.
And Libby, what about you? Anything that you learned unexpectedly?
Yeah, I guess, like Brooke said, there's so many kind of lessons and insights still to come out, mm-hmm, of this. But I think that the sort of biggest overall takeaway for me is really just one, giant lesson in continuity and connectivity. And, when we first started this project, we knew from pretty early on that we wanted to sort of highlight the Salmon River watershed as this incredible piece of central Idaho that represents, our kind of last best hope for bringing salmon populations back within the lower 48. And, to see that from the headwaters all the way through to the ocean, and really just to see how, salmon as a species connect landscapes, they connect human communities, they connect, ecological communities along that entire route was just an incredible snapshot. Just having a better understanding of, that entire story now, that the salmon life cycle is really just kind of central to this larger story of all communities throughout this region. I think that is one of the most beautiful and incredible things that we, as river people and just as people who inhabit this region could ever hope to learn. And I will always be immensely grateful for that.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking time, especially just 2 days after you finished this journey, to talk with us about this. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you
so much, Gemma.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Libby Tovey and Brooke Hess about their 1,000-mile journey from the source of the Salmon River all the way to the Pacific Ocean in an effort to help save Idaho's endangered salmon.